The gospel reading this morning is the journey to Emmaus following the resurrection of Jesus. And I have a different thought about what is going on here. So here's the story. No comments. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you go your way?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these past days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and work before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Now, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how they had come had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. We have all heard this story many times. Actually, at least once a year, we read this gospel story around the time of Easter, because it does reveal something about Jesus in his resurrection and its meaning for us every day. In thinking about it, I tried this week to understand it perhaps from a different point of view. It's a little bit different, but I think it ties in beautifully with what we've been talking about the whole of Lent. One of the things that happens in this story is, I think it's a story about hospitality and an instruction on how we are to really live our lives. You see at the back of the bulletin this morning, the little cartoon that's there. I love this because it's just so wonderful. The hospitality committee awaits our guests. And the hand sanitizer as big as a drum sitting there. The pastor of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he made a distinction about the difference between guests and visitors, which I think is very, very important, a very important thought. Guests, he suggests, are those people who come to something and they have no more to do than just be there. And when whatever the function is over with, you move on. And nothing, there's no residuals. How many of us have been guests at wedding receptions and funeral receptions and party graduations and house parties and Christmas parties and all those things? You have no expectation that you're going to be there for any length of time. And the people who throw the party have no intention of keeping you around either. You're a guest, okay? Versus visitor. A visitor is someone who is invited, and it's a much more deep commitment. If we visit a friend of ours from a little far away, or if we invite visitors to our home, part of that expectation and part of that definition involves either a meal shared or staying overnight or some kind of an extension. It goes beyond just kind of casual, hi, how are you, what do you do for a living, have a drink and please leave. It has a lot to do with being connected to people. And being connected to people is what visiting is all about. And Rick Warren points this out as far as churches go. We treat most people who come to a church as guests. You know, they come and they go and there's not a whole lot of residual stuff. When in fact, we should be treating people as visitors. Because the expectation is that we will remain connected, that something that we are doing here is going to matter in that person's life, and what that person brings the next time they are here is going to make a difference in the life of the community. I think that thought gave me a little bit of a backdrop to look at this gospel story this morning. At the beginning of the story, from those definitions, Jesus is a guest of the two guys who are walking to Emmaus. He just jumps in and becomes part of their journey, and they're just talking things as they go along. And there's no recognition of Jesus as anybody important. There's no connection made at all, except that they're commiserating with each other. But he gradually moves from the guest to a visitor when he begins to open up a bit of himself. His appreciation of the scriptures, his understanding of his mission, his interpretation of where the people who are now doubting about his resurrection and having fear because he is no longer there, what's going to happen to us, that he has something to offer in that light. And so he is there a counselor. He is there as somebody that's bringing hope. He's somebody that's reaching from within himself to offer something to them that they would not otherwise have. And so he has become truly a visitor in their lives. They will walk away with something that perhaps they may bring back to enhance his life or the life of the people that share their lives with them. But then he goes a step further. And sitting at the table, they still do not recognize who he is. But he does something that all of a sudden brings recognition. He blesses the bread and breaks it, and then they realize who he is. We have all sat at tables, have we not, where we have broken bread with many people. Have you ever had a moment when the bread is broken that somehow you are sharing in communion? I remember when Robin and Danette and Louie were part of the CYO group, we used to have these kind of things where we would celebrate various functions. And we were known to have communion with, you know, at IHOP after a meeting on a Monday night and sitting around the table and, you know, sharing waffles or a sandwich or whatever. And going on our mission, not mission trips, back then, but ski trips, where the families, we'd all be together at table and there'd be, we'd have a little Eucharist in the bedroom, which amounted to breaking bread and recognizing that there was something very important that was taking place. It was not the ritual of the Mass. It was not the ritual of any church. It was a sense that we were there together, and in the unity that we had visiting one another, we found the courage to go deeper and to reveal something about ourselves, what we believed, what we hoped for, what we were seeking from each other, what we found to delight in with each other, and how being together made a difference for a lot of other people. Those were very powerful moments, and we had many of those. We were very blessed. Have you ever gone to a meal and been with somebody that you didn't want to be with? We'll just let that hang there for a while. You go through the meal, and have you ever been surprised that by the end of the meal, you've become aware of something different about that person? Is that so much about what the person has revealed, or does it have something to do with my ability to perceive differently? I was reading something this week that tied in beautifully with this, I think. Somebody was writing about presence and started with the presence she had with her son when he was just a few weeks old. And he would look up at her and she would look down at him while he was nursing. And they had this real bond. And she said, I know he could not see probably 18 or 20 inches away from where he was, but I was always fascinated to wonder what he was really seeing. And we know that their vision is not that great, but perhaps she saw a flicker of the sun off one of the books in the bookcase, or maybe looking directly into her eyes and having some kind of a communication. But anyway, she realized in that time that all of us are born with very poor vision. That doesn't mean that the world around us is not flashing with all kinds of information and excitement and all the things that clutter the world. But as her child grew, she realized more and more that isn't it true that our brains develop filters that allow us to shut out all the stuff we don't want to see in order to focus on what it is we want to see. And the more education we have and the more discipline we are given and the more focus we are forced to have, the less we are aware of what is going on around us. And one of the trade-offs in that, brothers and sisters, as I find for myself as I reflect, is that I have an expectation that the people I'm going to be with are going to be the same people I have been with before. You don't go visit your friends and come away, oh my God, what a surprise, they were so different. We all have the same expectations of each other. And how limiting that is when you stop and think about the myriad of things that are going on in each one of our lives. The things that are going on within each one of us, the struggles that may be there that don't get voiced, or the delights or the blessings that someone is experiencing that somehow aren't allowed to come through. Or if you happen to be in like a church group, how difficult it is to realize that the world that each one of us consists of is flashing with all kinds of energy, with all kinds of possibility, with all kinds of promise, with all kinds of hope, as well as all the other things that we openly share, the miseries, the boredom, the doldrums, all the rest of those kind of angst things. But all those things are going on in each one of us, and maybe sitting at coffee hour, or sitting in choir, or sitting in the pew, or walking around doing shalom, it never occurs to me to be open enough to that person to experience something new, that there's a presence there that has yet to be experienced and enjoyed. I think that's what this gospel really says to me. We always look for God, and we say in our prayers, we want you to be with us. And we strive in so many ways to allow God to be part of our everyday. But you know, if we approach God with the same narrow vision with which we approach each other, it's no wonder sometimes I walk away feeling very much abandoned and very much alone in this whole quest about God. However, if it is true that there is yet something to be experienced in one another that we have not yet experienced, and I believe there is, then wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to open up those filters and allow some of the new things about the other person to come through before they're not around to do it anymore? we may be missing out on a great deal with each other. We may be missing a lot of all the things that keep us together as a family, as a community, as couples, because our filters are too narrow. I think the invitation from the Lord this morning is, if you really want to see God and you really want to experience God, then begin by opening yourself to the possibility that you have something to offer that has yet to be enjoyed by everybody else, and that everyone you encounter has something to offer that has yet to be experienced and enjoyed by you. It's just a thought for Sunday morning. Amen.